Yeah, I pressed it ages ago.
Oh, hi.
Hello.
Hi. So we've got some very exciting news that's either going to pay off really well for us or do terribly, which is that we've changed microphones. We've gone back to our old setup.
Yeah. I feel really weird.
It's very strange.
I'm peering over the top of it.
Yeah, so we don't actually know how this is going to turn out, because when we used to have these mics, we had a soundproof studio, and now we sort of have this weird, slightly echoey room that we record in. But you know what? We're trying for you.
We're trying because we've listened to the feedback. Not you, fuckhead reviewers. Don't care about you.
No.
Go away and listen to Case File if you want a serious podcast. But to our actual fans that are like, FYI, it sounds like shit. That's who we're doing this for.
We're doing it for you because we've had quite a few reviews from nice people who are like, I just wish they'd sort out the mouth noises. And I understand that. I actually do, because I'm not a mouth noise fan either.
No.
But it was kind of like, you either have the podcast and you have the mouth noises, or you don't have the podcast.
Yeah.
And you don't have the mouth noises.
But I'm still going to go like that, because that's just a tick of my way of talking.
Speaking of bad reviews, I did want to read this one out, which we've kind of slowed down on the reading out of bad reviews, but this was too good. You know the one I'm going to talk about, don't you?
I think I do. I'm obsessed with it.
I am obsessed with it. Okay. It's Very Low Brow by Strangest Fruit. 1 star. I was super excited to hear there was a podcast for Australian mysteries and conspiracies. The first podcast I heard had none of the promised content about Pine Gap, but was filled with prattle between two seeming simple women talking about cheese. They seemed to find themselves very amusing. We do.
Yeah.
But I think that was the drink talking. It was.
It was, absolutely.
If you're interested in listening to two very dull, excuse me, self-satisfied individuals, I mean, yes.
Yeah.
Then this podcast is for you. I have better things to do with my time. What a wasted opportunity. So, I mean,
hilarious, because here's my first bit of advice, Strange Fruit. Why don't you click on the episode called Pine Gap instead of the episode called Mystery Minute 6 or whatever it was? That's on you.
It's
you simple.
That's what's
person.
So great is that they're like, oh, these two simple women. But it's like, you couldn't even figure out. It's very straightforward, I have to say.
It's pretty easy.
It's a Mystery Minutes.
Yeah.
And then there was one that's called Pine Gap.
Yep.
It's, you click on the Pine Gap one.
If you want to hear that one, my best advice would be click on that one.
On the one.
Yeah. It's like, I don't review Case File and be like, I was expecting a 5-parter on Belanglo, and all I got was a thing about Silk Road. It's like,
rude. 1 star.
Come on.
Anyway, we're not going to go on about bad reviews anymore, because we actually did want to say to you guys, if you haven't done it already, please give us 5 stars, because we're now down to 4 out of 5.
Yeah, because of people like Strange Fruit that just don't get it. So if you get it and you like it, give us 5 stars. If you're going to go in and give us 4, just give us 5. Like, I promise you we'll earn that extra star.
We'll earn it from you. And then you'll regret giving us 4. You'll think, I wish I gave those girls 5 because they grew on me.
Yeah. And we will. You'll grow to love us.
We're growers.
It's happened to me with every podcast that I've started to listen to that I haven't liked. I've grown to love.
Oh, my God. I used to hate My Favourite Murder.
Same.
Hate it.
And Case File. Remember how much I hated Case File? Mm-hmm. And now I want to marry all 3 of those people.
All of them in some sort of polygamist wedding.
Yeah.
I want to be in. But anyway, the only other thing I wanted to talk to you about in person, because we haven't talked about it.
Years too late.
I know. Like, the stalest. Like, the movie isn't stale, but my watching it in 2019 is stale. I finally.
It's one of my favourite movies, and I've talked about it for years. And I'm just like, I don't want to talk about it anymore.
When I said to Josie. I was like, okay, obviously we don't do too much, you know, chit-chat at the beginning of these anymore, but I just want to talk about John Wick because we didn't get to do it in Mystery Minutes. And she was like, yay.
Yeah, awesome. Let me dredge up the thoughts I had years ago when the movie came out.
The only thing I really wanted to say was I watched it because I saw it on Netflix there, it was there to watch. And I got so hooked so quickly, but mainly because the entire premise of that film is just retribution for killing a puppy.
Yeah.
And that's a real mood for me as someone who really likes dogs. I don't give a shit. Like, I quite liked that his wife, you know, died of an illness as
you
opposed
liked it.
Well, I mean, I didn't like it, but like, I was like, yeah, don't have like these people come in and kill your wife and then you go on a rampage because they killed your wife.
It's done. We've seen that.
That's done. It's very sad.
We've seen men with missing daughters.
Yes.
Going on a fucking rampage. There's a lot of movies
like that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's been done.
It's been done. Kill the fucking puppy. I mean, I hated when they killed the puppy. Yeah, I was very upset. Never had
fucking Theon Greyjoy and his cronies.
And then by the time he started, like, going absolutely batshit on everybody for killing the puppy and just tracking this guy down like a fucking demon.
Yeah.
I was like, this is such a mood. All of this for that tiny little puppy that he had for a few weeks.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, make an entire movie about, you know, murdering a puppy murderer. Can someone just make a whole series of a person that just goes around?
They have. It's called John Wick. There's three of them.
Great. Well, I'm going to watch the second one this weekend, so I will not go on about that. But
they're all great. And I have to say, it's like my brother started leveraging synergies. And he's good at, like, buzzwords.
Yeah.
And he gave me this one, which is geriaction.
What is that?
Which is your takens, your equalizers. Oh, what else can I think of? Old men in action movies.
Oh, yes. Jerry action. Like Liam. Yeah.
Yeah, and, like, Keanu's 51. He may not really look 51, but he's 51. And by the third one, you can tell he didn't actually, like, shape up for it. But he doesn't need to because he's fucking Keanu Reeves. And who cares? He can do what he wants. But he knows how to, like, the choreography's amazing.
Mm.
The fight scenes are so good. And he's still pissed off about the dog, I can tell you.
Good.
In the third movie.
Be just great. So never good. Get over the dog.
Never. I never will. I rewatched that movie recently for, like, I've probably seen it 4 or 5 times. And I'm still like, here it comes. Like, I hate that bit.
Yeah. It was really upsetting as someone that didn't know what was going to happen.
Yeah.
And I was sitting there with my dog. And I was like, Millie, no one would. I would go and kill 50 people if they did that to you. And you're going to be okay. And then she tried to bite me. So that was... Not really.
You're like, I take it all back.
I was like, take it all back.
Do your worst.
Back to the streets with you. Anyway, so, well, I mean, that's all I had to talk about. Is there anything you wanted to talk about?
I need to take my earring out.
Okay.
It's rattling against this new setup that we've got. I really like someone did a drawing of us.
Mm-hmm.
And they got us wrong, which was fine because it's still the cutest thing ever.
Yeah.
And I had big earrings
on. I totally accepted wearing the... jumpsuit that got around the vaginal mound issue. I was very into that.
Yeah, and then I was like, my vest is vintage.
Yeah.
But it was your vest.
It was. But it was like you were wearing my vest and I was just wearing a jumpsuit. And I'm also astronomically tall in that, which I loved as well.
Yeah. Someone said, is Mel really that tall? How tall are you?
172 centimetres.
So you're 3 centimetres taller than me. I thought you're only just taller than me.
The hair, though.
Yeah. And the general vibe. You've got a bigness about you.
Oh, my God. So Kate was like, so when I see my dog in the morning, I get ready upstairs and then I come down and say bye to her and, like, spend some time. And I wear a lot of, like, peasant tops and flare jeans and, like, big jackets and things. And I always walk out with this huge curly hair and all these big dangly things. And the dog just goes, loses her fucking mind and just tries to jump up
on
me.
You're like a giant toy.
Yeah, that's what Kate's like. It's because you come in here with all your sleeves and your colors and your pants and she's freaking out. You always stress her out and just, like, anyway.
Because
Kate dresses like Justin Bieber, so I don't think she can talk. She literally at the moment looks like Justin Bieber.
Just like long tops.
Like big, big, like Harley Davidson t-shirts and like black straight leg 90s jeans, Doc Martens, and then like 50,000 earrings in her ears. Right,
yeah.
It's like Justin Bieber. And you hair slicked back.
Couldn't be more different.
We used to dress exactly the same. And then I started getting into vintage stuff and she went to Germany and came back looking like she was like a Bergein? Bergein?
Oh, yeah.
Like a...
Bergein? No.
Well, it's spelled like Bergein, but I've always thought it was like Bergein or something.
Horrible lips. There's the mouth noises. But we're speaking German, so we're
It's excused. Okay.
If anyone's been into that club...
I don't think anyone... I used to date a guy who went and he was like... Oh, yes, Bergein.
Bergein.
I was like, I don't even know what that is. So.
All I know how to say in German is, hey, das ist mein Hamburger.
Oh, that's which we so learnt good.
At school, in case someone steals your burger.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, Macca's still haven't come to the party there.
Well, I think we're giving up. I might move on to KFC.
Yeah.
Can someone just send us some fucking food? Anyway.
We're wasting away here, guys, if you could see us. You'd be concerned.
If only you could see how tiny and slim just we are. We're just locked in this weird podcast room with its echoing sounds and the toilet noises and motorbikes and
whatever sirens. Outside. Did you sirens. See someone yes. said in the group they got scared by I our did. Sirens? Sorry.
But anyway, enough with the chit chat.
Well,
don't know how many minutes that was, but you know what? We'll put it in the notes, guys. I'm so excited about today's episode because there is quite literally nothing to be triggered about this. It's just a good time.
Yep.
It's just a fucking good time. and the good time is, and there's going to be a lot of listeners that have no idea about this, and I love that so much because this is a local Sydney story. But I feel like potentially outside of that, you may not. What?
Oh, I was just going to say, I knew about it.
You put your hand up so concerningly then, like you wanted to tell me to stop.
I'm sorry. No, I in Newcastle knew about it because it was in all the Sunday papers.
Okay.
That's so, the only reason I knew.
So potentially you did know about this, but it's the Coogee Bay Hotel poo. And it's already great. Just saying the word poo, I'm
poo
5 years old.
Poo is so good.
I'm 5 years old.
I love poo.
So I'm not going to elaborate on that yet because I think the story is just too good, but I have a shitload of, what's my callies?
Credits
to give because I really needed to go deep on this one, guys. Also, if you can hear clapping, it's because there's a prezzo happening. Like, a room away.
Happened last time as well. They're not applauding us, although they should be.
We didn't start putting like applause like noises to make you laugh.
No, it's like just a sitcom. Our colleague
Josie and Mel, they're the odd couple hanging out. What would our would we be like Golden Girls?
Yeah,
definitely. We'd have like single beds, but in the same room. I'm into that mood, by the way. Anyway,
do you snore?
Me?
Yeah.
Yes. Apparently.
I'm not into sharing a room with you then.
Okay. Well, with a divider wall.
Whoa. Wow. We are funny in this sitcom.
Anyway, so Sydney Morning Herald from October 26, 2008, Eamon Duff and Andrew Webster. News.com.au. The credits are 2009, but I think it was an updated original article by Nick Lays. Courier Mail by Stephanie Gardner and Adam Bennett, October 27, 2008. And an ABC article from the 29th of October 2008. Sunday Telegraph, Nick Lays again and Sherry Markson, November 2, 2008. The Herald Sun by Nick Lays, who was very on this case.
He was like all over this.
November 9, 2008. The Advertiser, December 11, 2008. And I'm also going to credit Junkie, which is actually a pedestrian competitor, but you know what? They deserved it.
Credit where credit's due.
By Rob Stott, October 2018. He did like a like 10 years on, what's going on, which was actually such a fucking great read. And I do recommend it because he kind of like summed up a whole bunch of different news things in one, but he also went back and looked at a whole bunch of stuff. So the Coogee Bay Hotel is this super popular spot in Coogee, as you know.
Yep, it's my hood. I wouldn't say that's my local because the Coogee Pavilion exists now and it's a lot nicer. I mentioned Coogee Bay Hotel in my Shark Arm episode because I was like, yay, a nicer place to go and drink.
So the Palace... Is it Palace? Yeah. The Palace is down the other end.
Yeah. Well, now it's the Pavilion, but used to be
the Palace. Oh, the Pavilion. Used to be the Palace. It's like one of the big drinking spots.
Yeah.
And then the Coogee Bay Hotel is the other one.
Yeah. On the other end of the beach.
Yeah. And it's been around actually since 1873, which is wild.
Wow.
But my parents particularly used to go on about it in the 70s because they were like, oh, Selena's. Mm. We always used to go to Selena's and see AC/DC at Selena's for like $2. And like
Nirvana played there in excess. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I saw the Killers there last year because they're trying to bring it back.
Oh.
It's not really happening, but that was cool.
That is cool.
I could walk home.
Yeah. But its most notable moment came in 2009. On October the 5th, Stephen and Jessica White took their three sons, aged 8, 7, and 3, to the Coogee Bay for lunch one day with friends. And so the pub was actually advertising itself as a family-friendly spot to watch the rugby league grand final.
All right.
So reports actually differ on what the Whites weren't happy about. Some reports say they weren't happy with the prices of food, the facilities, the staff attitude. Some say it was just the price of food. Apparently the gelato was $19, which is actually insane.
Yeah, especially back then.
I would be complaining too. Mm. Some say it was seating issues due to like the popularity of the venue for that day.
Well, I mean, I'm sorry. Why would you go on grand final day? I know. It's always going to be packed.
Exactly. And some say the complaint was regarding the hearing of the grand final over the hotel's music and that the TVs were inside so they couldn't see the game. So
they wanted the commentary.
It sounds like it was something to do with the logistics of this family-friendly day. And I'm not actually 100% sure, but I'm pretty confident the Whites weren't from Coogee and they hadn't been to the venue before.
So they didn't know.
Yeah, so they weren't
sure. Never go there for this purpose.
No. So I have a feeling they've come in specifically for that. Let's go to the beach, have a nice time, go to the Coogee Bay, have some lunch, watch the footy.
Yeah.
And that's not really how it went down. So whatever the issue was, after they complained, they were served complimentary gelato by the hotel staff. The Whites said there was chocolate, vanilla and hazelnut ice cream.
Oh,
and
no.
In the bowl was something they assumed was, quote, compacted chocolate.
Mm.
Jessica took a bite and became, quote, violently ill. And she told the Sydney Morning Herald, quote, later, this huge bowl of ice cream arrived at our table as a sorry for all the hassle. There were four scoops, including vanilla, chocolate and hazelnut. At the bottom, there appeared to be chocolate. Greedily, I went for it ahead of the kids. Thank heavens I did. The stench, the taste, I spat the food into a napkin and immediately I was sick. Which is like, I mean, it is fucking funny, but it's also horrific.
Oh my God.
I would die. Yeah. I would actually, no.
Oh, it's
I can't
so bad.
Think of anything worse.
Me
anyway,
neither.
She told the Sunday Telegraph, my friend thought I was overreacting, but when she smelt it, she started screaming, oh my God, they've served us shit. There were some pretty good headlines that came out of this. Like there was one that was like, they made my mum eat shit and like all this like amazing stuff like that. But anyway, so obviously they immediately went to the Waverley police station, which is, you know, like it's weird to go to the police over food, but I guess maybe I would do the same because I'd be so,
like disgusting.
Shocked by the situation.
Like you put your shit in someone's food. That's
yes.
like a next level complaint. That's not just, I can't hear the football.
Yeah, exactly. And I should actually clarify that I did obviously go to the manager and were like, what the fuck? And it was like, not an altercation, but just like I don't know how this has happened. Mm-hmm. This isn't on us. You know, that, you know, he said, she said sort of situation. So then they went to the police.
Yes, yeah.
Okay. They took along a sample of the alleged poo.
Oh, my God.
And they were advised it was a health department matter.
Mm-hmm.
Then the hotel owner Chris Chung and general manager Tony Williams offered the Whites $5,000, but without admitting liability. So it was like, we'll pay you money
to stop talking,
but we are taking no ownership of this situation.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. They rejected the offer and Tony Williams told Sydney Morning Herald, quote, Mr. and Mrs. White have made a demand for up to $1
million
from the Coogee Bay Hotel. We categorically stand behind the high quality of our food and exemplary hygiene standards set in the new brasserie kitchen. Williams said if the incident did happen, it was an act of industrial sabotage with the hotel as victim alongside the family. So he was essentially saying some other competing company has done this.
Came and took a dump in their gelato bowl, but just one gelato bowl.
Just one.
And only a minor amount of poop.
I know. So then Tony Williams, made a statement to news.com.au saying, we are aware of the allegation that has been made and are treating it as extremely suspicious. The couple making the suspicious allegation have made a demand for up to $1 million from the Coogee Bay Hotel, which we believe borders on extortion.
Right.
So then he just upped the scales and went, now you're extorting us.
Right.
And I've seen blackmail.
That was their own poo.
I think he is. Like, he never outright says that, but the word blackmail is also used somewhere else. So it was kind of this, it was almost like implied, like, you're not being reasonable.
Yeah.
And now you're outright just trying to fuck with the hotel.
Yep. And get a ridiculous amount of money.
Yes. And he also told the Courier Mail that they allegedly made off with the, quote, material and did not allow the hotel to retain, quote, even a small sample for outside testing.
Right.
So they've taken off with this sample.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what happened to the rest of the ice cream. I assume, like, probably in the kerfuffle of what happened, it got chucked out.
Oh, my God.
You know, like, you wouldn't think I'm going to save this because this is going to turn into a legal issue. Anyway, and then he said, when I personally visited the Whites and requested a sample for our testing, this was also denied. There is now no objective means to establish where the substance came from.
Right. So it's definitely implying that it might have come from their own butts.
Yes. But the Whites said that the reason they were taking them to court was because they didn't want them getting away with it just by giving them some cash, which I also understand because it was kind of like $5,000, shut up. You know, it's
did the $5,000 offer come after
it was being reported on already?
Look, that I'm not sure about because the Junkie article said that stuff was going down legally and then it got exposed by Sydney Morning Herald. But then I saw other reports saying that the Sunday Telegraph was the first to report. So it was a bit fuzzy on details. But once
it was quite damning. Like as someone that lived in Newcastle and I'd never heard of Coogee in my life, all I knew about it was this poo story.
Yes.
And that Jennifer Hawkins had bought a place with Jake Wall.
When
she relocated from Newcastle to Sydney, that's where Amazing. She settled. And so that was my first taste of Coogee. And it was definitely marred by the poo.
Yeah.
I was like, hee hee, Coogee.
Well, all these reports are from the end of October, all the news reports, and it happened on the 5th of October. So there would have been a couple of weeks there potentially where the $5,000 was offered
hush money.
So on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't actually think, look, this don't quote me on this vibes, but like I don't think the Whites were the ones to go to the media because I'm pretty sure in the Junkie article he was saying how he spoke to I don't know if he spoke to the reporter or what happened, but it was like the like in 2018, but the reporter who broke it for Sydney Morning Herald, and I say that in inverted commas because Sunday Telegraph also thinks they broke it, but whatever. So Andrew Webster said that he was drinking at the Coogee bar a bit and he got kicked out for being drunk, but he wasn't drunk. He just tripped over the chair or something. It was like one of those amazing stories.
All right.
And then after that, I think he was like started investigating something, or like a bartender was like, oh, well, you know, there's this whole thing going on. And then it all unraveled.
He heard about it.
Which like would be like, good how good to break that case. Like,
this is gold.
Yeah.
Similar to our Engadine Macca's expose.
True. Very true. So the Whites took the sample to this place called the National Measurement Institute, which is this government-run body. Like, this is how high up this gets. I looked up the website because I was confused what they did, and it said, Australia's peak measurement body responsible for biological, chemical, legal, physical, and trade measurement. So it's just kind of like a place that checks samples, I assume. Right. But I don't know why they could just go themselves, because there was also like another report that said the sample then went to the New South Wales Food Authority. So I don't know if it was like a combo of those two things, like the Food Authority used that body.
Yes,
to very do the confusing. Actual There's testing. A lot of conflicting reports on this. All the news articles kind of have little different elements
they
to them.
Probably all trying to get different details since they're all going out with it. No wonder I kept seeing it in the paper. They were like fighting over.
Oh my god,
we broke it and we got new information.
Yes, so exactly.
I do remember the funny headlines too.
I know, they were so good, and it was accompanied with like a picture of ice cream, chocolate ice cream. So that was very visceral. Like it was like, wow, I really didn't need to like, I didn't need the visual. I got it.
Yeah,
but thank you.
Thanks for adding it.
Anyway, this report found the sample, quote, had an offensive odour and physical properties similar to human excreta and to contain fragments of a variety of plant matter typical of excreta. So it was like, we can't for sure say it's human shit, but it's got all these properties that are like human shit.
Couldn't it be animal shit?
Well.
Oh, sorry. Jumping ahead.
New South Wales Primary Industries Minister Ian McDonald told the ABC, this is after it went to the New South Wales Food Authority.
It's really going to the top.
It was confirmed to be fecal matter, but they would continue testing to see if the excrement was human or animal.
Right.
So then they tested it for DNA.
Oh.
Yeah, but the results were inconclusive, and Ian told the Advertiser, quote, while the analysis of a second sample supplied by the complainant showed a partial profile of female DNA, this is ultimately no help in determining. Oh, for some reason, I just thought I had like a little brain fart then, but I didn't. Had a brain fart over having a brain fart. No help in determining who may have contaminated the food. Scientific advice is that 1 in 59 people have the partial profile. So they also said it can't be 100% confirmed to even be female DNA because it's also shared by some men, this whatever DNA. I don't really understand DNA.
I don't understand it at all.
Yeah.
I'm just nodding at you.
I know. And it was also contaminated because the sample that they had was the one that Jessica spat out. So her DNA is in
her DNA, which is a good cover if it was her shit.
I mean, great cover, but also like, would you do that?
Your own shit to get $1 million?
You would never do that.
Nah.
Anyway.
$1 million is a lot of money.
So meanwhile, while all this is going down, the hotel employed 3 detectives. 3.
Like private
not
detective.
1, 3. Oh, it gets better. Ken Bowditch, who had previously led investigations into the Bulldogs' alleged sexual assault scandal.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Which was massive at the time. Yes. Steve Matthews, an ex-detective of the Armed Hold-Up Squad.
Oh, Jesus.
And Brian Haddon, who was involved in maintaining Olympic security. So
About a poo.
That is three big names. Like, I don't know
they're
them
huge
personally.
Names
but
in the detective world. They've got
to
be.
Well, they have to be. Those are three pretty cases. Fucking big situations yep. to be involved in. I guess so much better. I just love this story. So then CCTV footage was revealed to the Sunday Telegraph that showed the ice cream being brought to the white table shortly after 6:30 p.m. Around 9 minutes later, Steve White can be seen showing what looks like a white napkin to restaurant manager Sherilyn Kennedy, followed by several members of staff standing around the White's table.
Mm.
Soon after, Miss Kennedy is seen taking the bowl back to the kitchen. Mrs. White then gets up from the table at 6:42 p.m. and approaches another staff member with the napkin in her hand. 1 minute later, she walks toward the toilet, and by 7 p.m. they've left the hotel. So that was kind of...
So she didn't vomit immediately.
No, and the thing as well with this is that this CCTV footage, this is all coming from the Sunday Telegraph, who got the exclusive, but then... I know,
paper
it's so
giants,
deep.
The
it's so deep. But I got so invested in this story. So they got the exclusive, but then there was another news article, and I could not for the life of you tell you which one.
Mm.
Could not for the life of me tell you which one.
The life of me.
Yes.
You were like, the life of you. Josie, I couldn't, to save your life, tell you.
If someone had a gun to your head and said to me, which article was it, I'd say Courier Mail. And I would not be sure if I was right.
Oh, my God.
But I'd try.
You're gambling with my life.
Do you want me to just let you die because I'm going to say I don't know? Yeah.
Yeah, I'd rather you try,
to be
honest.
That was a good guess, okay?
Thanks for trying.
Anyway, so they were then saying, oh, like the CCTV footage reporting was a bit off. So I don't fucking know. But that's the basics that I got from Sunday Telegraph, and no one else really clarified it very well. So.
And because it was the Sunday Telegraph, we only saw still pictures. We didn't see the video, right?
Yes. So there's no... I don't think the video was ever shown anywhere.
I want to see the video.
I can have a look and see if I can find it. I actually didn't try at all. This is so good. I think you're going to love this. Mm-hmm. Trevor Morling QC, who chaired the Lindy Chamberlain Royal Commission and... had acted as an arbitrator in a dispute between the British government and Iran over the supply of armaments.
Oh, my God.
Trevor Morling, QC, yep. came out of retirement.
You're lying.
No. It sounds like an April Fool's. To manage a 12-hour mediation session between the hotel and the Whites.
Oh, my Lord.
They got a fucking QC.
He's there. He's retired. He's enjoying his shandy.
He's having a nice... He's sitting on his balcony. He's watching the grandkids play some soccer.
The cricket's on in the background because, you know, the rugby league's over.
All he does is wear Ugg boots now because he doesn't even have to put shoes on. Never puts pants on.
No.
Trevor Morling QC hates pants.
And if they're pants, they're very elasticated.
Yeah.
Because he's very chill now.
His wife is like, please, can you just wear one? She bought him a pair of slacks from that weird magazine that you get in the middle of That's Life.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, they look like trousers, but they're comfy, like track
ones,
pants.
So
and
he
she
can
was like,
sit around
Trev, sometimes I'd like you to put some pants on.
And he had to because he got called up to do this.
This is not a hotel, Trevor.
This is bad.
But yes, he puts on his special pants from his little flip book of special pants that are like track pants. And he has to go and mediate a fucking session.
For 12 hours.
Because apparently they need the guy that dealt with Lindy Chamberlain's Royal Commission and Iran and British arms issues to come
that
and deal
so
with the shit
on.
From a Coogee Bay hotel. Anyway, amazing, 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 amazing. So that mediation session, 12 hours, no actual breaks.
What?
I know.
Imagine the mouth noises.
Oh, worse than this podcast. Ha ha, botching. 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 Oh, my God.
Botching.
Botching. Oh, shit. I just know someone's going to pick up on that now too, yeah, and do some sort of drawing and it'll never leave me. It's like zesty.
Yes.
Zesty was never meant to be a thing. Zesty. It just became a thing.
And now all of you are called zesties.
And
all
it, of I can't escape members. It. And then I have like people that I don't know say zesty to me. And I think, did you pick that up via the way this podcast has made that a word? Or is this just other people picking up a word at the same time as me? I don't know. Anyway. Like people's like sports girl zesty socks, yes. And I'm like, is that just natural that
should
someone
we
thought up that
sue sports girl?
Yes / no. We don't know.
For $1 million,
for $1 million, and a 12-hour mediation session with Trevor Morling QC in his tracksuit pants.
His tracksuit pants.
And I say pants because they're pants.
Oh yes,
they've even got like a little fake zipper. I'm very invested in the pants. I think the material is that sort of jersey that seems like cotton,
and they've sewn seams into the front so they look like they're pressed, but they're not because they're seams, but they look like pleats because that's the illusion that he's got really pressed slacks on.
And everyone's like, Trevor, your suit is so nice.
It's so nice. It's never wrinkled.
And he's like, thank God, my wife Maureen.
Oh, Mors. I just headbutted
Mors, the Mors knows what's fucking up, you know?
She does.
She fucking sorted your life out, Trevor. I think you need to thank her. Send her some flowers today.
I can't
today.
Imagine sitting in uncomfortable pants for 12 hours listening to people argue about poo.
Imagine,
I have to wear comfortable pants.
I know we're stuck on this, but just imagine coming out of retirement and having to sit in a 12-hour mediation session between a family.
Yeah, did he get
and
paid?
A hotel. Yes, I'm sure he got paid a shitload of money.
$1 million.
Yeah, he probably got $1 million. Anyway, sorry, I'm going to move on. We're moving on from the pants with the irons.
Bye, Trevor.
Bye, Trevor.
Enjoy your pants.
So that actually resulted in a $50,000 settlement to the family to avoid further legal action. The money was also given alongside a full apology from the hotel and a retraction of any suggestion that the Whites staged the whole affair to extort money. So they had to basically pull right back. And the case has actually never been solved.
So who did the shit? We don't know.
How the feces ended up in the ice cream. A statement from the New South Wales Food Authority found by Junkie says, after 3 laboratory analyses, inspection of CCTV footage and interviews with all people involved in the complaint, there is still no definitive proof of whom or where the fecal matter came from.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So it's an actual Aussie mystery. So the theories are, there's only 3. You could come up with whatever you wanted, really, with this, but I went to 3 because I don't think anything else is logical. I didn't go down aliens or Harold Holt.
Yeah, I was going to say, aliens, it's probably got nothing to do with Glenelg.
A Lithgow panther got into the kitchen and shat in a bowl of ice
and
cream.
And just, like, shot out one of those, you know, those round little shits that marsupials do?
Yes, like
he
wombat.
Just, like, fucking shot one out into the bowl and then he just slinked off.
That visual, again, way too visceral.
Yeah, I don't know why I did that. It's like a Malteser.
I just got such a...
And just shoots out.
Just sitting in the bowl and then like...
Ba-ching.
No one... Butching.
Butching. That's the gift that we'll never stop giving. I love butching. You guys couldn't see, but Mel did this like... finger gun as she did it.
I did a finger gun. It's almost as bad as that. Josie found a picture of me today because I used to do videos for Girlfriend magazine when I worked
they're
there.
They're going to find it. They're going to Google them.
I don't even care now. It's fine. But she found one of me. I'm like doing shakas to the camera.
You're like, yeah. Like just heaps of shakas.
So many shakas. Like
shakas
someone
forever.
Needed to like tell me to cool it on the shakas, I think, back in 2014. Anyway.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Oh my God,
happening.
We've gotten so sidetracked. It was bitching.
Bitching. I'm sorry.
Stop.
I'm sorry.
And the visual image of the Lithgow panther
just shooting out
one pellety shit into the ice cream. Oh my God. Anyway. So the first one is obviously did the Whites fake the whole thing, which is, you know, illegally shut down by that end of that case.
They were like,
that's it.
Can't say that
anymore. We are legally going to say that they did not. But if you were to theorise, the mediation session firstly was focused entirely on clearing them of that. So clearly that's what everyone was, they were very concerned about people.
They didn't want people to think that they would shoot out pellets of shit into their own ice cream.
Into their own ice cream. And that CCTV footage was also confusing, I think, to people because why was Steve showing the napkin and then all this hullabaloo over that, but then Jessica's showing it and then she's gone to the toilet.
Then she goes.
It was very, like, odd. And I think it was one of those situations where, you know, in hindsight, you would be way more alert about everything that happened and, like, the staff at the hotel bystanders because it was very packed.
Yes.
Like, but at the time, it's just a couple of people next to you eating some ice cream and then having a freak out, and you wouldn't know.
You wouldn't know at that moment, oh my God, this is going to be a huge, all over the papers, paper giants, Coogee Bay poo.
Exactly.
You'd just be like, oh, they've got a hair in their soup or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Or you wouldn't even know it was happening because you'd focused on the game or whatever. Yes. You know, like, you wouldn't even be paying attention.
Footy.
Anyway, but also it's like, where was this other sample for the hotel?
Yes.
And it was probably because they likely just chucked it all out. Like, they were probably just like, oh, I'm really sorry, I don't understand what's going on.
Then the woman took it and she probably just, like, chucked it.
Yeah, because she was probably like, oh, I don't, you know, like, panic mode kind of thing. Yep. Anyway, so there was that. But if that was their intention, they actually didn't end up with much cash in the end, because according to the Herald Sun, with the legal fees involved for them, they wouldn't have walked away with much more than $5,000.
Oh.
So then I kind of wonder if you'd bother going this far with something.
Yeah.
You know, would you even resolve to $50,000 in the end then? Like, I would think you would just be continuing to go on and on and on.
Mm.
Because you'd be freaking out. I don't know. It just, the behavior seems, the behavior doesn't seem like.
It does seem weird to be like, I demand $1 million. Like, to put a dollar figure on your.
But then I just wonder, sometimes people get weird legal advice.
Yeah. Like, and in America, like, they would have got $3 billion.
I know.
Like, everyone sues everyone over there.
I just can't imagine that you would be so pissed, or you would think that this would so work out to put your own shit into some ice cream.
It's very elaborate.
It's very elaborate and unlikely to me.
But could you put some dog shit? Like, I've got cat shit all over my house because, like, Leroy, he can't always snap it off. So there's, like, sometimes one in the hallway. Poor thing.
Oh, Leroy.
But it's like, maybe they brought dog shit and, like, didn't eat it, created the hullabaloo, put it in the ice cream. Oh, but then they're on CCTV.
Yeah, like, I'm just sort of like, how would you do it?
Do it subtly.
But then the CCTV footage as well was I saw in an article that it was very grainy, because obviously CCTV footage is generally quite grainy. So it was kind of like a bit of a confusing thing in and of itself. But yes, I just think I can see why it was a theory.
Mm-hmm.
I can also see how whatever happened in that mediation session, how that was thrown out.
Yes.
And actively that the whites were like, no, part of this deal is that you absolve us from any, like, no more saying shit about us.
I do remember when they were like, it's female DNA.
Yeah.
And so then it made Jessica?
Yes.
Look very sus. Like, the papers were kind of
going. And that's going the thing with papers that, as well. Like,
they don't care. That, I mean, we're journalists and we try not to do that here. But, you know, it's who's got the best headline and the most salacious angle.
Yeah, exactly.
And they don't really care what the damage that they're doing to someone's reputation.
Exactly. And it going was with that angle. This would have been pre-smartphones, I'm pretty sure, because 2008, I would have been 22, 21.
Oh, my God, I lied. I actually lived here then.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Well, in 2008... I remember having one of those phones where you had to go onto the internet app and then, like, look at the movies and shit. It was, like, really hard to see any information. It wasn't like you were just constantly on your phone.
Yes, like now.
Consuming news. So it was very newspaper-based.
Yes.
Like, even though there's news.com.au articles, news.com.au started before phones were even, like, a massive thing. So it just wasn't, like, it was very newspaper-y. Mm. But anyway, just to cover our asses, it was not the whites faking it. That's 100% not what happened, as per the legal thing. Whatever. But the second one, which I'm much more into, was it someone on staff?
Yes.
So, yes. So the hotel had recently been refurbished, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this was actually one of their big, like, we're back open, everything's new and fun and amazing. And I remember this happening because I remember that the Coogee Bay was a bit, like, bleh. At the time, and they had a lot of issues with like alcohol violence and stuff. Yeah. And they and were then trying it to.
Again, I'll tell you a zesty anecdote.
Oh, will you?
After this.
Okay. Well, so yeah, so this was a big refurbishment. I remember this happening. It was like, we're going to be great again and family friendly and like the beer garden's beautiful and stuff, you know. And staff members told the Sunday Telegraph that 10 to 15 employees lost their jobs before the relaunch about a month prior to this incident, and that there was resentment among long-term staff about this. So the hotel spokeswoman actually said that records showed only 3 permanent staff had been terminated. But regardless...
It only takes one disgruntled staff member.
I don't think 3 or 10 it really matters. To
project a pellet shit into a thing.
Exactly. Projecting the pellet shit.
So they could have given it to their friend that still worked there and been like, can you slip this into this ice cream for me because I'm disgruntled.
It seems very, again, seems very...
It, again, seems elaborate.
Yeah.
Because if it was someone that had been fired, they wouldn't actually have access to the ice cream.
Yeah, but it could, like, I think what it was implying was, like, there was resentment with other within long-term the staff right. there. So there's, you know, when jobs go through those weird things where, like, you know, people get laid off or whatever, and then there's still people left that are, like, pissed, but they're not going to quit because they need their job, but they'd but still pissed at the company.
There's resentment.
Yeah, so there's, like, a bad vibe brewing is what I'm gathering from what these employees said. But there was also a theory that it was unrelated to the hotel and more to do with the whites as people. So one theory amongst the staff, according to the Sunday Telly, was that one of the hotel's employees was frustrated by the white family. So you know how I said they complained?
Yeah.
So the nature of that complaint, like I said, it's like got different reports from so many different outlets, and it didn't really go into detail of like the nature of their complaint, how they were, whether they were like yelling, whether they were really rude or very polite. I don't know. And does it even matter? Because some people don't fucking like people complaining.
Yes.
And I get very stressed about this every time I'm in a restaurant. Like I am so awkward if I get the wrong thing sent to me, or like what was one recently?
Because you do hear the horror stories from like behind the scenes of what people do to your food.
Yes.
When you complain.
And there are stories around. Like, people have done weird shit to people's food because they've complained.
Putting it down their pants.
Yeah, it's in movie scenes and shit. Yeah. Like, so I, so yeah, so this is obviously was going to be a theory. That was basically one whole thing of like, did somebody do it just to them
because
of the fact they complained specifically?
And then, because then the boss would have gone, okay, can someone put together some ice cream for this family that are complaining?
Mm-hmm.
And then they would have been like, sure, I'll do it. And then they just go and snap one off and chuck it in there.
And it's really unclear, but I feel like that's what the whites were saying in the first place, was not you whole hotel are doing this to us on purpose.
Yeah, like who
it's your responsibility because somebody has done this to us.
Yeah.
Exactly what they, I think they were saying. So the New South Wales Primary Industries Minister, Ian McDonald, that I mentioned before, he's related to the Food Authority. He called it a, quote, hostile act. And he said, quote, I can't see, given the nature of the food business, how this could occur in any other way. It would be pretty impossible to think about how this would be occurring without there being a deliberate act of treachery. So even he kind of thinks someone's doing this on purpose, but... Again, we don't know if it was because they hated the hotel or they hated them or what.
Well, it's not like Coogee Bay Hotel. That's like part of their process. Like it would have been an individual decision, not like, okay, I'm the boss of the kitchen. I demand one of you put your shit in this. Like it's definitely someone going rogue.
Yeah. And it, but yeah, but then there was that other one which I was going to bring up, which was it an industry-related thing? So the place is refurbished. It's new. It's all flashy and new, and they're promoting it. They're getting people there. So then there's that whole element.
Was it someone from the palace?
Yeah, or was it all from another, like, restaurant, cafe in the area?
Yep.
It's quite, like, that whole strip of Coogee is full of places. Is there beef between someone in someone and the manager of the hotel? We don't know.
Yeah, and it was just a random... act of vengeance.
That one seems less likely to me.
I still am like, how did it get in there?
And then also you've got to remember that for 2 weeks or so on, there were no news reports. And if we're going by what Andrew, what's his face, said, Andrew Webster?
Yes.
Yeah. Told Rob Stott at Junkie. If we go by that, which is really one take because, like I said, the Sunday Telegraph also thought they broke the story. But he just maybe happened upon it. Maybe it was planted upon it.
To both of them. And that's why they both thought they broke it. Because maybe there was someone feeding the story to the press.
Oh, now you're really getting conspiracy theory on me.
It's paper giants. I swear, just like we need to make the third
pretending
one.
To be a bartender. I'm just like wiping the bar with like a mat.
And everyone then, just thinks he works there, but he actually doesn't work there.
And someone's like, that dude's been wiping down the bar for a while. Really have you long seen time. That guy before?
Also, he smells like poo. Because he carries it around in his pocket, just waiting to...
Mm-hmm. Oh, I thought you meant like the guy.
Guy just planting the stories.
Not a guy with like pockets full of poo. just
waiting to sprinkle it in everyone's. Yeah, it is.
Oh my god.
It does seem weird because why just the whites? Why not everyone that got the $19 gelato that night?
Well, that's the thing. Like, that's why I feel... Sorry, I'll tell you the last theory we should talk about that. The last theory, which is pretty much completely blown out of the water because... of what I'll tell you was it from the gelato supplier themselves and not actually from the hotel, but it came directly from. Right. But a spokeswoman from Coogee Bay told news.com.au that the results from the hotel's own tests of the bucket of gelato revealed no fecal matter in that tub of dark chocolate gelato.
Oh my god, I can't
where
bear
the
it.
Scoop came from. I can't
deal with that.
And testing was also done at the manufacturer directly, and there were no concerning results found. So it's almost definitely deliberately was put in the bowl.
Yes. At the Coogee Bay Hotel.
At the Coogee Bay Hotel, but by who? I think for me, my theory would be that it was a person disgruntled at them for complaining.
Yeah, I think so too.
And whether that was fueled by these layoffs, potentially, if there's
maybe it was
bad
just
vibes,
a really fucking bad day, you know, your friend's been laid off, you just want to watch the footy, but you have to work. Long weekend. It's always the October long weekend. You're pissed off. Now this fucking family is arcing up about something and you just snap. And then you snap one off and then you put it in the ice cream.
But like extreme mood
it's
to
very
snap
extreme.
And put shit in someone's like.
It makes you think maybe they did a lot.
Did it heaps.
Yeah.
Like a sort of weird poop man that
well,
just
no,
goes
not
around.
In like a fetish way, but just if people piss them off. They'd be like, oh, fuck you, I'm gonna shit in your food.
Oh my god.
But the whites were the only one that picked up on it.
Oh my god, that really makes me sick and upset. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But I don't know, because I just think it seems, I just think that you would know.
Yeah.
Like I just think that poo in food is different to someone spitting in food.
Yeah.
Spitting in food is like, and you know how there's like those, oh my god, I think it's an urban legend, to be honest, from America about someone jizzing into a burger. That's I actually disgusting. Think it's an urban legend, but that was another one that I've remembered in life and it's always freaked me out because they're things that you wouldn't know. Like, I don't think you'd pick up
clear
on
spit or like.
And they also don't, like, obviously poo is poo.
Yes.
It's like someone could wee in your drink and you probably wouldn't even know.
And they drop food on the ground, they put it back on your plate and they rub it on their balls and they put it back on your plate.
Things like that where it's like. They would know, but you wouldn't know. But poo is like...
They'd get that satisfaction of watching you tuck into your...
Oh, my God, don't.
Whatever.
I'm never complaining about anything again, ever. I'm going to... If someone served me, like, congealed old meat, I'd still be like, cool, thank you.
And you ordered a salad.
Thank you for my lump of, like, corned beef.
Like, it's delicious. Thanks
just
so
like,
much.
Pushed out of the, like... You know, they make corned beef in, like, a... pot and
yes.
It's like got weird jelly bits on it.
No thanks.
Just put on a plate and I'm like vegetarian, I'd still be like thank you. I'm not actually vegetarian, but like if I was
you'd still thank them because
I'd
otherwise
be scared.
They'd give you two ice cream.
But that's so going back to that, I don't necessarily agree that this has happened before, inverted commas, potentially. I think this is like a one-off random act. I just think
it's just strange that the Coogee Bay Hotel just flatly denied it. They didn't really seem to, like, look into it or fire anyone.
That is interesting.
They were just like, nah.
Because I would think...
But I guess then they're admitting it did happen. Maybe they quietly fired someone.
But then I would think, wouldn't it work better publicity-wise to be like, we're so sorry that this has happened to you. We don't know how it's happened. We've changed. And they did change a lot of things. They put in new cameras and stuff near the kitchen and so on. Like, they did actually do quite a few things to be like, this is never going to happen again. Because they had to, obviously. But I would think you would do that from the beginning because it's your word against them. These are people that, ate shit,
yeah,
people are generally going to be more sympathetic towards them than they are to the big company that's denying it happened, just from, you know, the way humans are.
Yeah.
I don't know. So then I'm like, maybe you really didn't. You really were. But then how would you know? You wouldn't know 100% that none of your employees had done that.
Yeah, maybe it's a legal thing. Like, I watched that show, The Bold Type.
Mm-hmm.
And you've watched it.
Yes.
The one where she gets sued.
Yes.
And it's like, you can't say, she says, I can't say sorry. Because that's admitting fault. And if you do that, then someone can go, well, I'm going to sue you for $1 million and you're going to give it to me because you did. Your staff that did must shit be what in my it is, ice then. Cream.
That must be what it was.
So maybe they did do their own internal investigation and go, it was you, you dirty rat, get out of here.
Interesting. Because I'd never thought about that, but that must be why. Because for them to admit fault would be, like, to say sorry.
Mm, yeah.
Someone may have done this, then that then would give like grounds to... Then you're,
like, or whatever.
It's kind of a bit of a mess. And I actually do feel sorry for the Whites because I think it'll be a horrible thing to go through. And then, like, obviously they wanted to be – they went public with it. Like, they did talk to a lot of outlets. They talked to news.com.au. They talked to Sydney Morning Herald. I'm pretty sure they talked to someone at The Telegraph, like I said. It was like they personally talked to quite a few outlets.
Yeah.
But it would be awful to have that on you for the rest of your
like
life.
You ate poo.
Yeah. And, like,
your mum ate poo.
It's very like...
Remember in The Help?
And that's why I mean... Oh, my God, in The Help. That's, I forget about that. I was like, why does this all sound familiar? And it's because of The Help.
I love that.
But that always makes me think, surely they... Like, obviously, they didn't do it legally as per the legal case. But surely they wouldn't think that. Because why would you be going around telling everybody?
It's a weird thing to do. If you're going to get money, you'd do it a different way. Like, oh, I've fallen and I can't get up.
Yeah. Something. Like, I slipped on some... water that you had poured all over the floor and you know you should have cleaned it up.
Sign down, like, that's an easier way, surely.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway,
my friend that listens to the podcast actually she slipped on some essential oils at the reject shop.
Oh my God.
And hurt her knee and got money.
Oh, I wish that had happened to me.
Mm.
Like a mild injury,
just a mild,
nothing serious, just like a little one. Because, like, I tore my ACL at touch football, right?
Mm-hmm.
This was ages ago. Yeah, it was bad. And I had to go through all this surgery and it cost heaps of money. And I had insurance, like private health insurance, and it did nothing for me.
Yeah.
And then after the fact, like way after the fact, we were like, we probably should have, like, reported it as, like, an injury at the field or something, and I don't know.
Do you, like, but a lot of those places you have to sign.
I mean, we probably did. I don't know, Josie. I just wanted some money for my injury.
It's like our colleague Cam wrote a wonderful story about how he participated in the halftime entertainment at the football and had to race the guy. They do it at my ground as well. Race someone really fast and then you win something. And he raced him and he fell over and fractured 5 ribs. Great story on Pedestrian if you want to go and find it. I believe the headline is, I fractured 5 ribs at the footy in front of 45,000 people. And yes, there's video. That's the headline. And my first thing to him was, did you sign a waiver? And he's like, yes. I was like, sue the pants off them. But he did. He had to sign his life away.
Mm.
So, I mean, it wasn't, like, expensive treatment for him, but still, I was, like, trying to get money. And he couldn't. I have a funny story about the Coogee Bay Hotel.
Oh, yes, you said. I was just about to remind you.
So maybe it didn't happen when I was in Newcastle. Maybe I have my years mixed up, because 2008 I lived here, but not in Coogee, where I now live. And I just always thought, like, when I thought Coogee, I would just always thought Coogee Bay Hotel. My friend Amber lived in Coogee and I lived in Newtown, which was like, she lived on the beach, I lived in the inner west, and I'd go on little, like, I'd come and stay with her. It was like a little holiday from the inner west. Yeah. And she was like, I'm going to show you all the sights of Coogee. And we went to the Coogee Bay Hotel and I was just like, it was just full of backpackers and, like, the drunkest people alive in the eastern suburb. And as soon as we walked in, like, we literally walked in and a guy just stood up and vomited all over the table.
Oh my God.
Like, that is all over hell. The table in the beer garden. And then she's like, because I was like, isn't that the place with the poo? And she's like, no, it's really fun. I'll change your mind. And we walk in and this guy just spews everywhere. And I'm like, mm-hmm. She's like, let's go. We just turned around and left. It's like nicer now. They've done it up again.
It's nice now. Yeah. Well, now I feel like at least the last 5 years,
yeah,
it's been nice. Because I remember going there for events to do with work and stuff, like,
yeah,
after work drinks and things like that. And it was all really nice and they've done it up and it was,
yeah,
like a, I would say it was like a, just a generally nice place to go. Like if someone said to me, oh, I'm in Coogee, like, where should I go for a drink? I'd be like, oh, the Pavilion or Coogee Bay Hotel. And it was kind of like, yes, Pavilion's a bit more chic.
Yes.
But Coogee Bay Hotel isn't gross.
It isn't gross.
It's like a decent, nice place.
It definitely was when I first
went through a bad stage. And it wasn't to do with the poo. It was actually to do with, like, violence and, yes, like, people getting drunk and punching each other and stuff. But
I have eaten at the Coogee Bay Hotel recently.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, and I've eaten there too. It's nice. It's so nice. Coogee Bay Hotel, anyone that's listening to this and hasn't been before, don't be scared off. It's fine now. This is a 10-year-old story.
Just so funny.
It was amazing at the time, but now everything's fine. It's all blown over. But yeah, so that's the Coogee Bay Hotel poo mystery.
I love that.
We'll never know, probably. We'll probably never know who did it.
I don't think we will.
Yeah.
Friendly reminder to give us a nice review.
Please.
5 stars. You don't have to say anything.
Even if this sounds like shit, because we don't know yet.
Yep, tell your friends to listen.
Yep. Share it in groups. That's another thing that's been helping us. If you go into, like, other...
Yeah.
Like, not podcast groups where they're like, please don't share shit in here. Mm. But, like, we're pretty open with people sharing. As long as it's not the actual podcast host constantly posting their podcast. But, like, if you guys like we're talking about The Lady Vanishes at the moment a lot. And I'm seeing that come up. And, you know, we're so down with that. We're all listening to a lot of podcasts. But it helps us get our podcast in front of other fan bases.
Yes. So that whenever there's one of those threads where it's like, and I saw this the other day, that's why we're talking about it. It was really nice. It was over in the Case File group and someone was asking something and someone said, oh, is your mystery hour? And I was like, oh, yay. Hi.
It me.
And then another girl was like, oh, I'm so excited. I'm going to download it. So that was great. Grassroots, baby.
Start the conversations. Just say, hey, I've been listening to this podcast, All of Your Mystery Hour. You guys might like it.
There's a lot less mouth noises, hopefully. We don't know.
Improved the mouth noises. Maybe they haven't.
More burping, less mouth noises. Butching.
Butching. On that note, bye.
Bye.